Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on!
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot!
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last Crunch Berry!
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast. Morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 2nd. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I have to speed through this one. I apologize. But of course, you have the SB Roundup on the site. You have the starting pitcher streamers on this. I can't say words on the site as well. Ronald Blanco threw no hitter. Should you care? Maybe. I don't actually think he's going to be in the rotation for that long because Verlander shows up in 2 weeks. It was a glorious night. He deserved it a lot. He had 20 whiffs. His changeup was great. His slider was great. His four-seamer is, I don't think it's that great, but it worked and he located well and it was awesome. And I love this part about baseball. It's so cool. I wasn't in because of the Jays matchup and then it's the Rangers next and it stinks because I was kind of interested in Blanco in the spring. I was like, man, I watched him go and that slider was really nice down in glove side and he has a good fastball. Like, this works, but I don't like the matchups and I don't really like the Rangers one either. Also, he's going to be fatigued likely. 105 pitches in this one. You see this a ton where after you throw a no-hitter, after you have that kind of game, you don't really repeat it unless you're a veteran. And if you're not, it's usually not as good of a start and you're more limited in the next one. So sadly, it does mean that we're not really in on Ronald Blanco. He will get displaced by Verlander. JP France is not going to get out of there. Neither is Javier or Brown or Valdez. So keep that in mind. Maybe they go six man for a second because Blanco's just that good, but it's going to be a little dicey. Don't feel like you have to get Blanco right now because, again, that next start should not be actually that good for your fantasy teams. Shota Imanaga. Oh, man. He went against Rocky Road, made his debut for the Cubs, and I really didn't give enough sparkle inside of the roundup for how cool it is for a guy to come overseas, make his MLB debut, make his debut really in front of the home crowd in Wrigley, and showcase such fun emotion, go 5.2 innings of perfection before giving it up and just dominating. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Co-share of the gallows pole with Ronald Blanco there. And it's awesome. Like, that's really cool. It was against Rocky Road, and they are really bad right now. Like, really bad right now. Also, Imanaga, what he's showcasing as a skill set, and again, I don't really want to read too much into it right now, is a splitter that earned a ton of whiffs. I don't know if it's going to be able to go 12 out of, what, 19 or 17? Sorry, 12 out of 24 whiffs. 50% swing strike rate. We don't expect that. Slider, sweeper, right, was not that great, if you ask me. He had some moments with it, but it wasn't this old reliable as we see with other sweepers. And the curveball, I think it was a cutter. There was a fourth pitch in there, barely touched. I can't remember, I think it was a curveball. And the four seamer is really everything, right? And we've been saying, look, it's going to be this incredible low angle, all of this stuff that should really explode. And it was low. 1.3 height adjusted VAA is good. 18 inches of IVB. That combined is great. The extension isn't, 6.4, and it's at 92.93. So PLV loved it, like 6 PLV, which is incredible. The way where you located it, guess what? That was the biggest concern. Hey, 57% high lock for Shota Imanaga's four-seamer is amazing. When it was in Japan, he didn't actually locate upstairs, and we were being hypothetical saying, hey, look, Imanaga coming to the States, being a little different, he's going to throw more four-seamers in the zone and up, and that's great. So PLV loves it, but I do worry that the lower velocity, 90-91, when he doesn't really have that definitive strike pitch that's outside of the fastball, might actually burn him a bit when he's not against the Rockies. Because, let's be honest, there were some flyouts yesterday that if there was a better offense, probably gets taken advantage of a little bit more. And it might be a sell high. I know that sounds crazy, but I actually do see Imanaga like your classic Joe Ryan, Matthew Boyd types who are throwing 92-93 mile per hour fastballs upstairs that generally do work. But if they do sit on this, then it does become a situation where he will allow more home runs. He will do it. And I was the one pushing back on it a lot, thinking that having a cutter or something else in the zone underneath would really nullify it. But I didn't really see that. We did make a shirt, of course. I made it last night. Because how could I not? Shota Imanaga. Well, guess what? His last name is Imanaga. And that's just how you spell it. So it's on the store. You can go check it out inside the roundup as well. Imanaga in different colors. So it's Imanaga. It's pretty great. You can go get that on the store. Tanner Houck against the Athletics, exactly what you wanted him to do. I'm not really too impressed with Houck in the sense of I didn't see so much that was new that I thought I would be seeing. Not increased velocity, not really much of a cutter. He threw six of them, but the splitter was amazing. That's really cool. He didn't really have too many games last year where the splitter was just so dope. This was one of them. So maybe he does have a better feel for it. You know me and splitters. But it's his number three pitch. But then it's his number two against lefties. So kind of, we're not quite sold on Houck for the long term. But again, Angels are next. We're good. This was the Athletics. Moving forward. Sean Manaea, I want to be more in. I really do. Like, seriously. I just can't. It's four-seamers at 92-93 that aren't the same pitch shape as, like, Imanaga's against a really bad Detroit Tigers team. And the secondary offerings are a cutter that went 2-for-13 strikes. Changeup that was 54% strike rate. Oh, yeah, right. 2-for-13 strikes. I just want to make sure that you guys know that was not a typo. 2-for-13. That's like, what, 15%? What? You threw 13 of these and missed 11 times? You can't do that. So I don't find Manaea reliable. And there was a lot of hoopla about, like, oh, man, he went to driveline. This, he's so good now. Like, no, it's 92-93 without that amazing fastball shape. I'm happy that he located them generally well, and that allowed him to go 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, 8 Ks. I am so not ready to just jump in and say that Manaea is going to do this. Maybe I'm missing something about this fastball that is just why he's able to excel, but he had 92-93 last year on his four-seamer and did not excel with the Giants. Just throwing that out there. The Tigers are really bad. Sorry, I wish they were better, but they just are really just not looking good at all right now. Charlie Morton against the White Sox did everything he should do against the White Sox. I mean, there's some really bad offenses. The White Sox are one of them. The Tigers are one of them. Rocky Road is one of them. You can maybe argue the Mets are one of them, but they're not on the same level, I don't think. The Nationals are another one of them. I mean, really, those four are really bad. I think the Angels are slightly better. The Mets are slightly better. The Pirates are actually okay at the moment. The Mariners are slightly terrible, but those four are just like, you can essentially just throw anyone you want, and you might get a good win chance. So just keep that in mind. Reese Olson generally did look good, though. Much better changeups than I expected. Much worse slider than I expected, though. So I imagine the slider will improve. Oh, yeah, Oakland. You gotta throw Oakland in there. So I do like Reese Olson still. He gets Oakland next. I mean, him and Houck were these such clear, far and away, amazing two-star pitcher guys, and I'm super happy that so far, so good. One out away for Olsen. He allowed a hit. Oh, he was his last batter. He could have done. He allowed a hit with his last batter. And it was just so unfortunate to get that quality start. Dakota Hudson against the Cubs, honestly, that's going to happen. And it was 5.1 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks. Props to him for that. And 2 strikeouts. You know, he's such a Rocky. It's crazy to me where he's just going to go like sinkers and hope for the best. And like Adrian Hauser should be there at some point too, right? But you don't want to go with Hudson in any sort of consistency. James Paxton got the win. Whew, 97 pitches that got there in 5 innings. 0 runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, 5 Ks. Fastball velocity is down. It's under 94. It's not 95, pushing 96, unfortunately. But at least he did have the Blake Snell blueprint. It was four seamers upstairs. It was cutters and curveballs down. Those ladder pitches, the secondaries, were not that great. Unfortunately, that's the case. But it's fine. Paxton's fine. He got there and he gets a solid chance for another win next week. Like, okay, it is six-man. Just think of the Dodgers already at six-man because they're doing a bullpen game today and they're going to try and push it like that. So we thought that maybe Paxton would be a two-start pitcher because it's Monday and you should go two-start pitches, right? Nope. You should go two starts. It's not the case because they have a day off and they're pushing an extra day for a bullpen game. So it's kind of frustrating. But yeah, Paxton's still a good win chance guy. Marco Gonzalez was a good win chance against the Nationals. He did his part. 5 innings of 1 run. He just went opposite Mackenzie Gore and the pen let him down. So it goes, but you don't want to really lean on Marco Gonzalez at all. Luis Cil looked great against Arizona, but not as efficient as you want. 4.2 innings of 1 run, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. His overall control was not as good. It's not really about command with me for Cil. It's just throw enough strikes. Four-seamer, I wish for a day that he actually does the Blake Snell blueprint, and when he does that, he becomes a legitimate ace. Four-seamers upstairs, definitively high lock, and then keeping those sliders and changeups down and in the zone and threatening. He didn't really do that a ton here. He also got a little bit hosed with the first at-bat of the game was a 9-pitch walk. Fought really hard by Marte, but he threw a 2-2 changeup that was a strike, and they just didn't call it that, and they had to fight, and eventually he lost it. So if that doesn't happen, then he survives. But honestly, like, I'm not even going to say that wholeheartedly because you could have been better here, Cil, and you weren't. We also do want to note that this was the first start of the year for Cil at 84 pitches, and that's actually a really good sign. I didn't think they even let him go 80. I thought it was going to be like more 70, 75. So hopefully, as we continue on, it will see more 85 and 90, which is very encouraging, especially if Cil does improve in that control, which I think he will. This changeup is only a 53% strike rate in this one, and we saw much better than that in the spring. Same with the slider. So, good stuff. It's an amazing, amazing four-seamer. It's elite. 97-98 with beautiful IVB and with HAVAA. I'm going to call that attack angle, just so we're clear, guys. Attack angle, I'm just going to say, is that what we want to see on a four-seamer? And it is brilliant. 17 IVB, 1.4 attack angle, 6.5 extension, which is pretty average, but then 97-98. So stupid, stupid good. I love it. ICRA was 25% last night. You just love it. That's all on our player page. It's so great. We have a lot of other guys to talk about, of course, today and tomorrow streamers, and we're talking about all of that after this break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Kyle Gibson, 7 innings, 200 runs. Okay, fine, whatever. He got the win. Like, Gibson, if you remember, he actually really is a cherry bomb of just like, we don't really know when he's going to be good and enough to start, and whatever, that's it. Andrew Abbott against the Phillies, he survived 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 base runners, and 4 strikeouts. Just 2 out of 33 whiffs on his curve and sweeper, and it's just not enough. He's going to go one more start, and it's going to be the Mets in Cincy. It is the Mets, but it's in Cincy. He's not really pitching that well, if you ask me, and after that, it's going to be Lodolo displacing him, so we're not in. Christopher Sanchez, our worries were quelled. Our fears were quelled, whatever it is. 5 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. He's holding the velocity increase on his sinker, and it is up on his changeup too, but he does locate it well, and that did super, super well for him. 13 whiffs here. Should be really good for Sanchez moving forward. He gets the Nationals next. 5 innings is a little disappointing for 85 pitches. We want him to be a little more efficient with that. He was actually one of the most efficient pitchers in baseball last year. A little surprising that it wasn't as much here. However, it's the Nationals next. This is going to be great. Much more in on Sanchez. It wasn't as out of the zone on the changeup as I normally see. Maybe that is still affecting him with the movement. I need to look a little bit more in how much vertical drop that changeup is getting. If it's the same as last year, it's less because of the velocity. Still, Sanchez is in a good place. Next step is really just, hey, is the cutter going to show up? Or is there a really good third pitch of a slider or something like that? There is one. Is it going to develop more? We'll see. Max Meyer is really a Toby, not really a Spice Girl. He throws lots of sliders. They're good. 5 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Don't think of him as a Spice Girl, as in like a big strikeout guy. He could really be one of the more exciting guys. He's really just one of those Tobys. That's fine. He gets the Cardinals next. I'm fine with that. This was 79 pitches. Should be able to go 85 plus, and that could make him 6 innings because he's a Toby. Dane Dunning, also a Toby at best, 6.1 innings, 300 runs, and you got the win, and I'm really happy against the Rays. If you went for this, sweet, awesome. It's all about called strikes on the sinker, and you want at least 10 whiffs on the breaker and changeup, and he got that in this one. That's awesome. I don't know how often we're going to see that from Dunning. It's really kind of weird seeing the changeup kind of wake up in a bit, but it's fine. And we're not going to really go for it a ton. Just like play the matchup. He's got good opportunity with the Rangers to get wins. Okay. Emerson Hancock got a win. 5.1 innings, 300 runs. I'm a little surprised that he went 81 pitches and he was able to get a win here. He's a Toby. Sinker, slider, change. Though he threw more four-seamers, which is kind of weird because that's not really his good thing. I'm not really going after it for the Brewers. Dean Kramer, 5.1 innings, 300 runs against the Royals. It was fine. If you want to chase a win against the Pirates, go ahead. It's not that great. Mackenzie Gore against the Pirates, 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 Ks. He got into a bit of trouble in the first inning. And he got a little squeezed, but he threw 100 pitches, not 100 innings. And only 3 out of 49 fastball whiffs is annoying. He had fantastic IVB on that four-seamer. He also was at 97 miles per hour, which is just incredible. But the main problem here for Gore is the fact that he's not elevating the pitch. It's not upstairs. And I really wish it was, but in this one, we only saw 37% high lock. And after seeing a lot of it in the spring of him actually getting upstairs, it's so frustrating. However, this four-seamer is grading out far better than last year. So many things I do want to mention that I wasn't able to pull up last night, and I have it in front of me now. It was a 1 attack angle last year at height adjusted VA. 1.4 in this one. Oh, that goes from like average, like it's not really affecting things, to man, that is so good. And even more important for you to get it upstairs. His extension is 7 feet. 7.2. That was elite last year, is elite now. 89th percentile. What about his IVB? Well, it was 16.4 last year, which is good. It's not like, okay, this is really great. Now it's 79th percentile. 17.6 IVB last night on that four-seamer. And 95 last year, 97. This is elite. This is truly an elite four-seamer. He just needs to get the dang thing upstairs. He is actively making it worse for him throwing downstairs. Mackenzie Gore, please. Please, it's there. And guess what? This slider that he has, it's different from last season. It's tighter. It is coming harder. It is more like a cutter now. And I dig it because he throws this thing down and inside to righties, and he had some beautiful ones at 93. Like, I love this pitch. 61% strike rate last night. He had 65% usage, strike rate changeup. They threw 17% of the time, and the curveball had a 65% strike rate. It's all there. The only thing that Mackenzie Gore needs to do is actually elevate his four seamer, and it was just 3 for 49 whiffs on it. And it's like destined to be an elite four seamer. Just get the dang thing upstairs. Also, of course, maybe those metrics go down. It was the first start of the year. Adrenaline. The harder slider maybe comes down to 89 as opposed to 91. Maybe the 97 falls back down to 95. But Mackenzie Gore with the flat arm angle. Oh my gosh. You are looking as good as I've ever seen you. Just please locate that four seamer. That is such a long rant about it, but I can't express like how this is truly like a stud potential here. That's the tweak that needs to happen. And that was what I complained about last year. And I really hope we get to see it now. Keaton Wynn against the Dodgers. I mean, it's really just making him worse. He doesn't know. Keaton Wynn is actually not bad. Like 96 on the four seamer. I nailed it around the edges. He has a good splitter. He was down in arm side, and that was really his thing last year. And he's showcasing he has consistency on it. He almost made this work against the Dodgers. 5 innings of 300 runs and 6 Ks and 5 base runners. Like, Keaton Wynn's good, honestly. And I'd be more encouraged if he doesn't get the, if he doesn't have bad matchups moving forward. But yeah, I would wait after that one, I guess. That's what we do. We get Michael Wacha against the Orioles was this, but then he has a better one next, and that's fine. He's a Toby. And he needs to do better with his curving cutter for only 7 out of 20 strikes, but he survived this one against the Orioles, and he had one bad inning. But Michael Wacha is a Toby, and that's cool. Chase Silseth, 3 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks against the Twins. Honestly, like, things were kind of good. I need to double-check on Chase Silseth's four-seamer because he was able to get 7 whiffs on his four-seamer, 7 over 33, despite, like, not good velocity and everything that we saw from last year. And looks like that he's got more IVB on it. It's an inch higher, but the extension's still bad at 6 underneath it, 4th percentile in extension. It's not really flat. It's kind of average as far as attack angle. So I'm not really a believer that he can hold on to this 21% swing strike rate, unfortunately, for Chase Silseth. So, yeah, I don't really want to lean in so much, but the splitter and sweeper are working. He gets the Red Sox next. It's too risky for me. But Chase Silseth, maybe there's something there we can hint at. Chris Flexen, no thank you. He also went against Atlanta. Matt Waldron is a knuckleballer. Unfortunately, we don't do the 7 Ks in 4 innings. It's cool against the Cardinals, but it's 45% now. I just don't want to believe into that. Tristan McKenzie is scary because 3.1 innings of 400 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. I was really excited about this because Tristan McKenzie looked like he was back to normal. 92 on the fastball, curveball looking dope. And the slider still being this weird, like, hey, we can't rely on this, and maybe that will come through. But really, the four-seamer looking good, and curveball's down. Everything should be good, right? 90.5 on the four-seamer, and few curveballs as he threw 46% sliders. What? No! No! That is not Tristan McKenzie. It wasn't that good of a slider, but he had to do it because he just didn't trust his fastball, and screams to me hurt. Like, you throw your slider and your secondary stuff for strikes when you don't feel good throwing a fastball. Like, you feel like it's coming softer and you don't have confidence. And 90.5 is, oh man, I'm terrified. I'm not dropping McKenzie yet. I'm going to wait another start, but he gets the Twins next. I'm just going to cross my fingers, but that is really a scary thing, I think, for Tristan McKenzie. Let's say he gets pulled from this rotation. It might be the moment when Gavin Williams returns, so there might be just a swap there or something. Maybe he's totally fine. We're not going to do anything yet, but I'm scared. Ryan Nelson against the Yankees did not look as good as we wanted because, hey, the 88, 89 mile per hour hard slider. Nope, that is now a slower 83 mile per hour slider with this super hard 93 mile per hour cutter that is way tighter and not the cutter. Like, no, I don't want that. I want the 88, 89 mile per hour gyro slider. What the heck? And also the location of the fastball wasn't there, but he did get good IVB and location. Oh, sorry, not location. It was generally high at 95, 96. which is good, but you didn't locate it, like, in the zone. So, I mean, the Yankees are good, too. It makes them, made them work. And, like, we just wait on Nelson for another start, too, because it's Atlanta next. Ryan Pepiot got the Rangers 5.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. This is what I was scared of about Pepiot, because it's not just the Rangers here, but then it's Coors, and it's why I didn't go for him early. However, he is going upstairs with his 4-seamer. And, sure, his changeup was upstairs too much, and so was the slider. That should come down over time. Pepiot is looking good as far as the raw skills when he gets a better matchup or two. This is like the worst week he's going to have. So I'm buying low on Ryan Pepiot here. Buy low on Pepiot, I guess. I don't know. Bowden Francis allowed 3 home runs to the Astros, and he also allowed him on like a high fastball. Like, how did that happen? And he allowed hits on inside fastballs that shouldn't have happened. I hope you guys got the JP France versus Francis. You get it? His JP's sister. It was a really bad joke at like 2:30 in the morning. Just let me be. But anyway, Bowden Francis is a bad opening schedule. I think actually there is something there after this opening schedule, like Pepiot. And Joe Boyle just does not have good command. And we know this, and he got destroyed by Boston. Now, looking forward to today and tomorrow's streamers. The only thing different for the streamers that I mentioned yesterday is that it's Ryan Yarbrough going for the Dodgers, not Tyler Glasnow. And that's a bulk. So it might be a vultured win, as it's a bullpen game giving rest. Maybe you want a vulture win against the Giants, but I probably don't. I'm not going to do that. And then tomorrow's starters, the ones that I have not talked about the podcast previously, we have Strider, Burns, Wheeler, Scooble, Glasnow, Kirby, Pivetta, and Reagan's all going tomorrow. Probable start tier is Joe Musgrove, Kelly, Javier, Eovaldi, Bassett, Keller, Rodon, and Puck. So Musgrove looked bad early and then recovered, and we just want one start to feel better about that in the probable start tier. And then you have Merrill Kelly against the Yankees. It's the Yankees, but Kelly should be fine. Javier gets the Jays, and I just want a little bit more sample, knowing that the changeup is going to be there. It was there last time. That's great. But I understand there's some risk here against the Jays. I'm confident, but I need to know more first before pushing him into the top tier. Eovaldi gets the Rays. I think you're just going to do that because it's Eovaldi. Same with Bassett against the Astros. Keller gets the Nationals. So Mitch Keller, Nationals, fine. I don't like Mitch Keller, but it's the Nationals. Carlos Rodon threw 95.8 last time, but it was more so in the first inning with adrenaline against the Astros. It got lower as the start went on, and the Diamondbacks are not elite because it was the Rockies before. I think kind of Nestor Cortez and, Luis Gil kind of showcased that. But I don't know if Rodon is going to be his best self. And AJ Puck, yes, I'm doing it against the Angels. He's not going to be as bad as he was last time. It's just good enough that, like, if you're going to still hold on to Puck and do this, but yeah, this isn't a guarantee for it being productive. He's going to have better control. He should, at least. It's a high probability he does. Questionable start here is going to be Logan Allen as a stream tomorrow. If you missed it, it's Casey Mize for today. Definitely listen back to yesterday's podcast or read the article on the site. But Aaron Civale against Texas, it's Texas. Texas is scary. Civale is good, but he's not so good. I'm happy he worked out against the Jays. Does not mean it's going to happen here against the Rangers. Jose Quintana against the Tigers. Maybe that doesn't work. Tigers not a good offense, and Quintana's command isn't terrible. It's not the best I've seen from him, but it's not terrible. Chris Paddock against Milwaukee. We haven't seen him yet. Man, it's the Brewers. I just want to wait until we see something more to understand really where he's at. And Frankie Montas got the Nationals last time, and he gets the Phils, so that is just a risky, cool, just throw things over the plate and hope the splitter and slider are good enough. And do not start here. I'm not doing Kyle Harrison against the Dodgers. It's just too volatile against the Dodgers. Cal Quantrill against the Cubs, no thank you. Patrick Sandoval, Ross Stripling, Joe Ross, Trevor Williams, Zach Thompson, Drew Smyly, Nick Nastrini maybe against Atlanta. All these are really bad. Maybe Joe Ross against the Twins, but it's just too low of a reward, I think. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABs be low and your strikeouts high.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No! No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With seven drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.